acknowledge that you have made us, not we ourselves. We acknowledge you have made us. Therefore, we which have been made are the clay. Dare not say to he who has made us the master, you've God. Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what are you doing? And rebel against the touch of the master's hand upon this clay in which we live. Father, I thank you that we can take the authority of the name of Jesus. We can take the blood of Jesus. And we can take the living word, which is Jesus, with the written word, and we can make changes in our lives, and we can be the people of God in the city of King. And to that end, Father, we just want just for a moment to worship you and to praise you, so that as we do this, it will make real the scripture that you will inhabit the clay. You will inhabit the clay. So people, would you just for a moment or two, would you just praise God in your own way, in your own way? And no way is right and no way is wrong except just praise Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. I praise you, Father God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All honor and praise goes to Jesus. Move, Father God, in your spirit. Not in our spirit, but in your spirit. Praise you, Jesus. We praise you. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away, but there's something about that name, the name Jesus. Thank you, God, for the Son who is called Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come together. And I ask that you empty this person of self and fill this speaker with your spirit, that the anointing would come to us this day so that we can walk away changed people, even as the heart of God would so desire this. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Could you say amen, people? Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen, if you will. So I will always remind you of these matters, even though you already know them and are firmly grounded in the truth you have received. I think it only right for me to stir up your memory of these matters as long as I'm still alive. These are my words to you. I want to remind you of the matters that you already know. And you say, well, I've already heard it once. Why should I hear it again? This is what the writer is saying. This is what Peter said. You already know these things, but I want to remind you, because I want to stir up these things. It's like the sugar in the iced tea glass. After a while, though you stirred it up, it settled down to the bottom. And what you were drinking was not as it should be. Oh, it was iced tea, but it wasn't tasting the way you wanted it to taste,
because you had failed to keep it stirred up. And so Peter said, I want to remind you of the things that you already know. Now, what I want to remind you people is simply this. I believe that a person can be cursed. And I believe a person can be blessed.
When you say, God bless Aunt Susie, you know what that means. But you can as well curse Aunt Susie. And what God has been showing us is that we are the products of curses. Oh, now, never heard that before. Well, it is true. We are the product of curses. My father unknowingly cursed me. My mother unknowingly cursed me. And I have unknowingly been cursing my five children until the Lord revealed to us how we can break these curses and no longer keep them in perpetuation. In the book of Numbers, if you would like to turn, so you'll know I'm just not making this up, in Numbers chapter 14, verse 18, the words are these. I, the Lord, am not easily angered. Boy, I'm sure glad to see that. I, the Lord, show great love. I like reading that too. And I, the Lord, am faithful. That is good. I claim that one too. And I, the Lord, forgive sins. That is good. I like that. And I, the Lord, will forgive rebellion. That is good. For you know how rebellious I have been. I like all of that. But there is a next sentence in the same verse that says, yet. I am this. I am a God who loves. I'm not easily angered. I show great love and faithfulness. I forgive sin. I forgive rebellion. Yet I will not fail to punish children and grandchildren to the third and fourth generation for the sins of their parents. Now, I don't like that, but I sure like the first part. And I think that the problem with the churches today is that we have been living in the first part and we've been ignoring the second part. We like to live in the sensual part that says God is love, God is great, God is faithful, etc., etc., etc. And we don't like to look at the bad negative things, which the scripture tells us is the other side of God's nature. Now it says very clearly here, I will not fail. This is God talking to people. To punish the children and the grandchildren. Now all of us are grandchildren. All of you are a grandchild. You have to be. And all of you are children as well. You have to be. And God says, I want to punish the children and the grandchildren to the third and the fourth generation for the sins of, it says here, their parents. Now, I know my grandfather's name on my mother's side, but my grandmother on my mother's side died before I was born, so I didn't even know her, although I've seen a picture of her. I know her name. On my dad's side, I know my mom, his mom and dad, my grandparents. And I have on our family tree the name of my great-grandfather on my father's side, and I've got the name of my great-grandmother on my mother's side, and I've got the name of a great-great-grandfather goes back, but I don't know that guy's name at all. And I don't know what he did. But the Word of God says that if he did things that were wrong, he has placed a curse on me. Hey, God, I'm innocent. Here I am. I'm innocent. But God said, hey, I will not fail to give you the curse that was placed upon you by your great-grandfather. So what do you do about it? Oh boy, this hurts bad. You great. Go home and you're feeling sorry. No. You do something about it in the name of Jesus. Now, I am just naive and simple-minded enough to believe this Bible. And it just says that if you do it, it's done. If you don't do it, it's undone. And so the curses that have been placed upon you, hereditary curses as well. A lady last week said, well, now I've got high blood pressure. I'm going to have it because, you see, my mother had it. And that's a curse placed upon her
That need not be. She can break that in the name of Jesus. So we're talking about things, people, that have occurred to us, and we weren't even guilty. But God has put into effect a system whereby we can curse or we can bless. I heard a woman say to her daughter, "God damn you for doing that." I thought to myself, does she really know what she's doing? Oh, it's colloquialism, although it's amazing why. But yet, that husband, or that father, that mother, would say that, putting a curse upon that child. And you've heard people say, damn it, damn, one day I got nothing to do with it. And it took a lot of effort to do it.
I was with this guy downtown, and he was with diarrhea of the mouth, and he said, damn this and damn that. And I said, what did it do? What did it do wrong? Why do you want to damn that? And it was such a part of him, he didn't recognize what he was saying. And maybe it had no effect at all. But people, the point is that we affect our husband, our wife, our children, what we say. Oh, we say, he's going to be this way because his dad is that way. He's going to be this way. And when we say these negative things, we lay curses upon our children. And instead of building them up in the Lord, as the Word of God says, we curse them. We curse them unknowingly. And that is why we watch God say, every day as parents, God put a guard on my mouth. Because my kids are going to be affected by what I say and what I do. Now, you remember the big guy with the name of Goliath? He cursed David. When David came against him, he said, I curse you, and he said, by the name of my God. Balak went to Balaam and said, would you please curse the Israelites for me? So people can curse people. It's in the scripture, and you know it as well as us. Part two of this sermon next Sunday had to do with God cursing you. But today we talk about people cursing people. And the scripture says, as we read, it's also in the book of Exodus 2, Exodus chapter 34, that curses go down to the third and the fourth generation. So what we want to do is break these curses that have been placed upon us. And people, you can do it. God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross. He spilled his blood. He had his body broken and whipped and bruised, so that from this could come freedom and deliverance from oppression, bondage, and yes, from curses. But it does no good sitting on the table. He does no good standing up before he was crucified, nor does he do any good now, as we picture him in our mind, on the cross. But praise God, it's an empty cross. It does no good until we decide to do something about it. We've got to say, okay, I take it. I take it. And when you take communion in a few minutes, you will take it. What it represents is total healing and health for you, and freedom from the bondages that have been placed upon you. We won't even go into all the things that go through my mind now that we suffer from because of curses placed upon us. To be delivered from curses, to be delivered from all of the things that entwine and keep us in these chains of bondage, there are certain things we have to do. For example, if one of you came down here and I wrapped you up with all kinds of chains and I sent the word out, come help, come help, you would still be in bondage to the chains unless somebody went over and unlatched it, because you were all chained up. You have got to say, help me. We in the Spirit have got to say, help me, deliver me. Otherwise, everybody would be in heaven when they die, and everybody would be free. Everybody will not go to heaven, and everybody is not free now because of the willful choice that we've got. You've got a will, people. You've got a mind. And you can decide if you want to get out of the chain. You can decide if you want to go to heaven. It's that simple. You have got to decide. When you decide, you can't do it on your own. But praise God, you've got the name of Jesus, you've got the blood of Jesus, and you've got the Word of God. So I want to lead you through some prayers in just a few minutes that will help you get out of the bondage that you're in.
They're simple prayers. There's no magic in it at all except spirit. If you pray honestly, sincerely, to the best of your knowledge, God will answer your prayer and deliver you. We're also suffering from spirits, demonic spirits that come to us when a curse is placed upon us. And when people want to be delivered from these curses, or from these spirits that have come as a result of the curses, there are two things, people, that hinder the deliverance. Now, most of you know what I'm about to say, but again, 1 Peter said, I want to remind you now of things which you already know. Stir up your remembrance. The first of the two things that hinder in our deliverance is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. The scripture says that we are to forgive. And you know, Jesus was asked how many times he'll have to forgive. And what did he say? Somebody? That's a lot. That's a whole lot. Seriously, on and on and on. We've got to forgive. If you don't forgive, then you block the deliverance of the evil spirits that are in you. And you may not believe this, and I really don't care whether you believe it or not. Christians can't have demons. You can't have evil spirits. I've got them. I've had many cast out of me. It's an ongoing process. And then we have the flesh to worry about too. We've got demonic control, we've got flesh control. And the flesh hangs heavy on us people, and that we battle against too. But back to the bad spirits that are in us. These spirits have got to get out of us at the name of Jesus. They will. They cannot stay. But one thing that helps them stay is unforgiveness. And if you don't forgive people, this book says, God won't forgive you. If you don't forgive, God's not going to forgive. Well, that's not very fair, God. I've got every right in the world to be mad at that person because you don't know what you, maybe you do know what they said about me. And I'm not going to forgive that old codger what he said. God said, all right, I gave you the mind. You can forgive him if you want to. But if you don't forgive him, I'm not going to forgive you when you say, would you please forgive me for this that I've done? Now, people, this is in the word that we read that we overlook. If you don't forgive, he will not forgive. If you don't forgive, you are putting a cork on your deliverance. If you don't forgive further, the chances are very likely you're going to get arthritis and you're going to get cancer. Every person in this world who does not forgive, who harbors resentment, who harbors bitterness against somebody who did something to them 10 years ago, is a likely candidate for arthritis and cancer. Because these two demons harbor on unforgiveness. I want to lead you through a prayer of forgiveness. And what we're going to do is simply this. James, would you give this to James, please, so he'll know what I'm doing. I want to lead you in this prayer of forgiveness. And when we get to some blanks, the places where you can insert names, you don't have to say them out loud if you don't want to, but you've got to think about them. And as you think about them, then you're giving them to the Lord. Now, if you cannot think of any name at all of a person you need to forgive, then ask the Lord to let a name come to you. It may not come now, but the chances are it's going to come later. And when it does pop into your mind, then we want you to deal with that. I can't stress enough that we've got to forgive. I have spent blocks of time going through the streets of my mind trying to think of things that have happened to me with my poor memory, that were negative, and people come up and surface, and I would forgive them. I've gone through the church roll many times, former church rolls, present church rolls, and I've tried to empty this spirit that would hinder me of unforgiveness. And I'm reminded of somebody who said in regard to arthritis, this lady, we'll call her Aunt Susie, died of arthritis, I'm sorry, cancer, and the pastor made the comment that that spirits of cancer, demons of cancer, come in unforgiveness. She probably harbored unforgiveness
And the person said, Aunt Susie? You mean to tell me, not my Aunt Susie. My Aunt Susie was the nicest Christian I've ever known. She was so loving. She was so outgoing. She was so giving. And yes, people, those kind of people are the people who are susceptible to hurts. Those are the people who have given themselves in love who are susceptible to the hitting of the world and being hurt by the world. Yes, those are the type of people. So it's not our nature that we're talking about, whether you are this kind of a person or not. It's just that you've got to forgive these people. So I want to pray this prayer. I want you to repeat after me. And I want you to do it if you want to do it. If you don't do it, you don't have to do it. But you'll be a winner if you do. Bow your heads, people. And the only reason I say bow your heads is so to put outside the people who are sitting around you, you and God. And would you say, Father, I confess that in the past I have held unforgiveness, sometimes bitterness and resentment in my heart against certain people who have hurt or disappointed me. I now recognize this as sin and confess it as sin. For you have said in your word that if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now that I know that it is sin, I ask you to forgive me. I do now forgive the following people whom I can remember who have hurt or disappointed me. Now, as names come to your mind, people, give that name to Jesus. You can start with your mom and your dad, your spouse, your children, and the other names now that come to your mind, people who have hurt you or disappointed you in the past. Okay, continue with me. I now freely forgive all these people and ask you to bless them if they are living. I also forgive myself and all my many faults and failures, for you have freely forgiven me. Thank you, Father, for freedom from the load of unforgiveness, bitterness, and resentment. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise you, Father God. We can forgive. And then as we forgive, we are setting ourselves in position so that we can get rid of the things that are bothering us. The things that are plaguing you now are the result of curses and result of these demon spirits that come, and you can't get rid of them until you get rid of this unforgiveness. This is the first and the second, and these are the two things that keep people from deliverance. One is unforgiveness, and the second is the occult. By the occult, I simply mean the worship of Satan. Well, I've never worshipped Satan. Well, have you ever read a horoscope? Have you ever played a Ouija board? Have you ever looked at the stars for the sign under which you live, the astrology symbols on tablecloths and napkins and jewelry and glasses? The occult is a counterfeit of the real. God has given us the real, and Satan is trying to counterfeit it, and he does a very good job, people. And when you
unknowingly involve yourself in the things of the occult, then you are laying, listen to this, you are laying legal groundwork for demons to come in. Now, demons have no right to come in unless you say, and this is the way you do it, is when you involve yourself in the occult. Stir up your remembrance of the things that you already know. And again, we just can't go into all of the occult. There are tapes and there are tracts and there are books to read. But people, be aware, at least be open to the fact that you could have things that you need to exorcise out of your home. And there's a little blue track, it's just brand new, and it shows how you can throw out of your home a lot of things that are great, harmless in themselves, but they are the things that do this. Come on in. And it lays legal groundwork for the spirits to come in. So we're talking about dealing with the occult. This we've got to confess before we can get free. Otherwise, we've given legal ground for these demons to come in. The demons cannot come in unless you say, come on in, come on in. And we say this, and we don't even know it. And that is why there's got to be a return to the Word of God, which says, if you go to a fortune teller, you die. It's right here.
But we go to one there. This is going to be fun. Let's find out what the future holds for us. We go to Lady Greenfield. Let's find out what the future holds. And there are all kinds of fortune telling methods available for us. And when you do these things, people, you are dabbling in the occult. Saul died because he went to a fortune teller. King Saul. So whether you believe it or not, now that I've told you, if you didn't know this, you are responsible to ask God to forgive you for dealing unknowingly in the occult. Now, bow your heads for the purpose of closing out the people and pray with me this prayer. And let me say this. This prayer and the prayers that are going to follow may contain some words which you do not recognize as sin. What I ask you to do is say the words and then ask the Lord to reveal these situations to you, because there are some sins that we don't even know are sins because we haven't spent the time to look them up in the Word or heard them preached from pulpits. Father, I confess to you that in the past, through ignorance, through curiosity, or through willfulness, I have come into contact with certain occult things. Let me stop just a moment in this prayer to say, I can't make you pray this prayer, young people, children, adults, but I can say this, according to the Word of God, if you pray it, you're going to be a winner. So I encourage all of you, children as well as young people, to pray this prayer for your own sake. As we continue, I now recognize that the occult is sin. I confess it as sin, claiming forgiveness in Jesus' name. Specifically, I do confess as sin and renounce all contacts